Well, it's good to be in God's presence in the house of the Lord, expecting of what he's going to do this morning as he comes to bring his presence. And when God's presence comes, we're excited, aren't we? Because we can use words, we can use psychology, we can use all the things, but we know when the presence of God comes, he comes to set us free, break bonds, heal, restore, forgive, renew, anoint, release. Actually, you could just go on forever, couldn't you, of all the things when God's presence is here. And we're a church of hope who believes we're hungry for the presence of God. But not hungry in the sense that we don't have it. Hungry, we know we have it, but we don't have enough. We want more. Because we know there's so much more presence. So much more of God's glory. So much more that God can do. So many lives that God can touch when his presence pours out from here and from us. And that exciting day when we become carriers of God's presence, when we realize the potential within us to take that presence and go into our community and go into our homes, go into our schools, go into families, go into brokenness and bring healing and restoration because the presence of God is there and working amongst us. We realize the power of that personal relationship that we have with Christ when he sets our hearts on fire, when we know that we are saved, we are truly saved and we are in relationship with him and we can do nothing but serve him. And when we sing songs like that, I will give you my life up for your kingdom and for your purposes. It's not just words or platitudes or religion or just a nice thing to say, but it's real and it's reality and it's the attitude of our hearts and our minds. Amen. Is that too scary? Terrifies me. When I sang that, it terrified me. And I said, God, that's what I want. I'm tired of compromising. I'm tired of taking the wrong steps and the wrong path. I want to take the right path, the path of righteousness, the path that you have for me, the path of blessing and goodness and hope. And I'm sure, like for many people here, I'm sure some of you had a tough week. I mean, I want to say, but I'm sure you had a tough week. And all I can say, when you have a tough week and it's difficult, you need God. You need more of him. I could give you platitudes and tell you many things that might help you, but all I can say, you need more of God. You need more of his word. You need more of his spirit. And you need more knowledge of his, how he loves you and his salvation and how he can work in your circumstances in your life. And actually, God's desire for you is to pray for you in your circumstances, not to take you out your circumstances, but to pray within them. Because Jesus never came out of the circumstances. He stayed within them that we might gain salvation and know our Father's love. And Jesus prays for us within our circumstances. And he says, I know that your times are difficult and challenges will come against you, persecution, heart pain, family problems and issues will come. But Jesus says, be comforted. Be assured. I have overcome the world. Isn't that amazing? I have overcome the world. He didn't come out of the world. He had troubles. He had circumstances. He was crucified upon the cross. Yet he said, I have overcome the world because I have done what my Father called me to do. I gave him the glory. And now I stand in glory because I have done everything that he has asked me to do. I have overcome the world. And be not afraid, because if you do everything that your Father asked you to do, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have persecution. People are going to think you're crazy because you're not compromising to the world. You're not living by the world's values anymore, and you realize the world's your enemy, not your friend. And we're called to live in the kingdom of God, for God and for his purposes. And so we're going to face kickback and troubles and strife and circumstances because we choose to live for our Father and for his will and his purpose. But guess what? Jesus is overcome. And the same spirit that was in Jesus that enabled him to overcome, Jesus gave to us, the Comforter. And he now lives in us. so that we might sit here and go, oh, well, this is boring. So that we might over what? Overthrow the world? We might overcome. Come on, people. I'm asking for... We might overcome. You're all sleepy today. We might overcome. I find that exciting, that when I'm in the darkest place, that I can overcome. That I can face the challenges, that I can stand firm. That even in the most darkest place, I'm only doing what my Father calls me to do. I'm facing the challenges He wants and the purposes that wants. That doesn't mean everybody's going to like us, does it? Praise God. Imagine everybody liked you, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? But we want to do His purpose. And so we're going to read from John 17. If I know I was going to have a cold this week and have congestion, I'm starting to get a bit deeper in my true Glaswegian accent. You'll see, I've made it higher over the years so the Sassenachs can understand me. But it's so I do forgive you if I go deep. I'll try and go slow deep. So, but if I had known I was going to have a cold, I wouldn't have picked John 17, because it's the prayer that Jesus said. We have the Lord's Prayer, which isn't really the Lord's Prayer, it's our prayer. It's how Jesus taught us to pray, that His disciples saw Jesus and they saw Jesus pray and they saw, isn't that exciting? What a relationship that He has with God, His Father. Look how He talks to God. Look how He engages with God. Look how intimate He is with God. We want some of that. Do you want some of that? Why are you waking up? Praise God. We want some of that. They're saying, we want some of that. And they said, Jesus, you know, it's great all this healing the sick and all this wonderful things you do and miracles, but could you teach us to pray like you pray? Because we believe that's the source of everything you do. Your intimate relationship with your Father. So teach us to pray. And He gave the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. But in John 17, we come to an end of a dialogue where Jesus has been teaching, engaging with His disciples from chapter 13 of John, of telling that He's going to leave them, that He's going to die, that He's going to be crucified. The disciples, they're a bit in shock and they're not sure what to do. And Jesus said to them, don't worry, I'm going to send you something better. You know, I have to go, but I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who's going to be with you and enable you to live in an incredible, powerful way in the midst of circumstances and trials and difficulties. Isn't that amazing? I'm not going to give you a good life. I'm just going to help you live in the badness and the difficulty and the challenges of the world. I'm going to help you stand. I'm going to help you engage and know your Father, because this is just a short life. And actually, if it's going to be short, knowing Him's the best thing. He tells them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then we come to the morning where Jesus is facing His death, and he's praying to His Father, and we see Him go through that terrible time where He's sweating blood, and He's saying, Father, if it's Your will, if it's possible, take this cup of suffering away from me. None of us face suffering easily, do we? We don't want to face suffering. Who wants to face suffering? Not really, is it? It's not. We don't want to go through these circumstances. But somehow in the circumstances, in the mess, in the suffering, we say, Father, Your will be done, not mine's. Let me find You in the mess. Let me find You in the circumstances. Let me stand firm. Let me become the man and woman of God that You intend me to be. Help me to bring glory to You. Help me to honor Your name. Help me to do Your will in the challenges and the circumstances and the hurt and the pain and the loss. Help me to stand for You and glorify Your name, that people might know that You are God and I'm Your servant. And that through me in these circumstances, I might be a light. And that through me standing firm, people will know that You are God. And that You love them. Because You love me. Not by taking away my pain, but enabling me to stand in it and glorify You and have strength and hope. And Jesus prays, Father, take this cup away if You can. But not my will be done. Your will be done. That's a scary prayer to say. Jesus knew what he had to face. Your will be done, not mine's. Whoa. When you say, Father, your will be done, not my will be done, what are you getting yourself into? You may have to die to yourself, can you imagine? You may have to die to the world. You may have to give things up. You may have to change your life radically. Other things might not become important anyway, and the things of the world might grow strangely dim. And the light of his glory and love might shine forth, and you want to seek him and desire him, and your family are going, this person's mad, they just want God, they just want God, just want God, what's going on? You know, however good Strictly Come Dancing is, I want God. And so Jesus, we see him coming and doing this wonderful prayer of petition in John 17. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's pouring out his heart. And he's got all his own troubles. He's going to die on a cross. His mind's messed up. He's trying to understand what's going to happen. A death on the cross. His disciples are there, but his disciples are falling asleep when he needs them to pray for him. How many of us are asleep when we should be praying for others who are in need? How many times are we asleep when our brothers and sisters are hurting? How many times as a church we're asleep to all that's going around us? And we don't know the hurt and pain that we're facing. That we're not able each other to stand firm. That we're not loving through because sometimes we're asleep. And we need to wake. So Jesus, he comes to this prayer in John 17. He says, Jesus spoke these things and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Wow. So when you know Jesus, and the God who sent Jesus, you're experiencing eternal life already. Because that's eternal life, isn't it? Knowing God and Jesus and being in their presence and dwelling with them, that's eternal life. It's nice about having a cloud and a harp and wings, but it's really been with God. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had before the world was. I have manifested your name. I have made you known. I have manifested who you are. Do we manifest who God is in our lives? I manifest to bring forth, to make real, to part of who we are, that when people see us, they don't see us, but they see Christ through the power of the Spirit manifested in us, so that God might be glorified and we might be less and God more. It's like they prayed upstairs this morning before we came in. It wasn't very flattering. He said, but we don't want to hear Gary, Lord. We want to hear you speak. I was like, okay. But that's true, isn't it? We want to hear God speak. It's not about what I'm saying, it's about what God's saying. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them. And they received them and truly understand that I came forth from you. And they believed that you sent me. I asked on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all the things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified them in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name in which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them and kept them safe. And not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. Isn't that amazing? You could do 10 sermons on that one part of John 17. There's so much content there, but we don't have time for that this morning. You'll be glad to know. You might be a bit upset, 10 sermons. But I want to focus on that Jesus prayed for his disciples. God had given him these disciples. They're the ones he was to take God's word to. These are the ones that he had to preach to teach, to nurture, to grow, that through Jesus they might learn who God is, and they may accept God in their life and understand who Jesus is, the one sent from God, the Son of God, the Messiah. And that they too, through that understanding, might go out and teach others. That through their lives, as they manifest Jesus in them through the power of the Holy Spirit, that people might realize who Jesus is and the God who sent Jesus, believe him and trust in him, be filled with his Spirit, and go forth and manifest Jesus to others, that they might see Jesus in them, and so forth and so forth and so forth and so forth. It was successful because we're here today. Because somebody manifested Jesus to us and we realized who God was and who Jesus was. We're filled with the Holy Spirit and born again. Now, I'd rather be born again of fire, but if you're born again, then be born again. But we want to see a fire come into our hearts and our souls, the realization of what God has done for us. I lost not one of them except for the one who was prophesied to be lost. And he prays, Lord, I'm going to leave them. And they're going to be in the world. But they're not of this world. They're speaking a language this world doesn't understand, values and purposes. They're talking about your kingdom, about God's love, about salvation, about what Jesus has done for them, that he's the Son of God. And people are going, oh, these people are mad. What are they talking about? They're going to face challenges and persecution and tribulations and hurts and pains and rejection, which they did, didn't they? I'm not lying, am I? Sometimes I think we read the Bible and we think it was all rosy. They suffered, these disciples. It wasn't easy. Yet within those circumstances, they somehow managed to turn the world upside down because they lived by God's values, for God's kingdom and God's purposes. They decide to not be part of the world, but to bring Jesus to the world and to bring the kingdom of God to the world and what that means to be part of that kingdom. And he prays for his disciples as they now take on this task that I have given them. As I have revealed you to them, may they reveal who we are to the world. But God, you need to protect them because, this world's going to eat them alive. The world we live in, my goodness me, the Roman world was tough, but here today, secularism, postmodernism, all these things about our gender identity and all these things going on, which are confusion. I don't understand half of them. I've got a PhD in philosophy, and I don't understand half the philosophies that go on nowadays, and it's really challenging. And our kids are bombarded, and our families and people are bombarded left, right, and center with things about what it means to be a human being, or what it means to live in the world, to what it means to be valuable and purposeful. And it seems like our Christian message is being pushed more and more out. Yeah, our whole society is based on Judeo-Christian values. Most atheists are Judeo-Christian value people. They wouldn't like to give up our values, but they don't believe in God. Yet, as those Judeo-Christian values, those values which Jesus brought in and manifested who God was, as they die off, our society is just going to crumble and decay because there's no foundation for it. We're living off the benefits of who Jesus was, his disciples, and generations of people who manifested Christ and declared his glory and didn't compromise with the world but changed the world So where do we stand? Do we decide that we're going to just compromise world because it's hard? Because we're persecuted? Because what the world says sounds really good? Or are we going to stick with what the Bible says and what we believe is truth and what Jesus has given us and said, no, we declare a kingdom of God. We declare I'm going to do what my Father says that I should do. And I'm going to do His will and purpose. And so, as Jesus prayed for those and interceded for those that He had been given, what are we doing? Who have we been given? Who are the people that God has placed in our lives that we might manifest the kingdom to? That we might help them realize who Christ Jesus is and the God who sent Him is? Is that even a priority on our brains anymore? As Christians, do we even think that way anymore? Have we come to the assumption that somehow people will just come to church and come in and just believe in Jesus, or do we have to play a part in it? That somehow there has to be people within our heart and our mind that we want to see to come to Jesus, that our children who left there and went to junior church, that we pray for them and we intercede for them and we petition God before God, please bring them to salvation. Let not one be lost. Yet 50% of our kids who come through church, which is only 5% of our nation, are lost. Praise God for the 50% who find Christ and serve Him and go on, but 50% are lost of our own children in our churches. Why are we not crying on our knees saying, God, help us. Help us to teach them Your ways. Help them to teach in Your kingdom. Help them to live and fight for who You are. Let help them to see that this faith in our life is relevant and transformative and changing, and we can't live without You. And help us impart that to them so they, when they get older, they want to live in that and live in that power and live in that authority. Let them not see a weak, empty faith, a religious system, a ritualistic people, a people who just come to church because it's something that we do, but to be people and parents and grandparents and older people and younger people who are on fire for God, who know that they've been saved, that they know they live for Christ alone. There is no other hope. There is no other purpose. There is nothing else good. That for all the world's got to offer, it's living for Christ that is the best and the wonderful, glorious thing that we can do. It's doing our Father's will that makes us transformative and life-changing and transforming. God's given us these children. There shouldn't be one lost. Yet there's children in our own congregation who are lost and broken in heart. And we need to cry for them. Bring them to salvation, Lord. We do not give up on them. We fight that enemy who comes and tries to steal away our young people. We want to sow into them Your kingdom, Your power, Your glory. I'm sorry I'm passionate, but somebody has to be. Jesus says, not one have I lost. Who have you lost? And what are you doing about it? Are you petitioning for them? It's nice to pray for the world, but Jesus says, I don't pray for the world. I pray for those You have given Me. Are you praying for those who've given Me? Are you praying around the world? God, I pray for Iraq, pray for this, pray for that. What about your own family? What about your own people? What about your own children? What about your ones you love? God has given you them. God has given you each other in this church. What are you going to do about it? That's where you should be on your knees, petitioning, seeking God. God, let us not lose one person. Let us not lose those You have given Me. Those You have given Me friendships with. Those You have given Me, who bring Me people of peace, people who want to hear about God from Me somehow. Let me not lose them. Give Me them, Lord. I want to see them come to salvation. I want to show you a small video clip so I can get a breath. The opportunity to think about who God has given you, who God has placed in your life that you can petition God for, that you can intercede for, that you can cry out for, that you can say, God, I'm not going to give up until they come to salvation. Even if it's when in my funeral they come to salvation, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to persevere, and I'm going to go and seek You every day, and I'm going to annoy You, and I'm going to knock on Your door, and I'm going to intercede and cry and petition and seek You until You give these. until we claim these for your kingdom. That they, not that they come to church, not that they become religious, not that they fill our pews, but they come to know Christ as Lord and Savior and what that means. And if we don't know what that means, then let us pray for you so you can find out what it means. But don't let one be lost. There's ways in which you can petition, you can simply just look through the scriptures, look for promises, look for declarations that God has said. Read through his Bible and write those promises down in post-it notes and stick them on your wall and go back to him and say, God, I'm declaring your promises over these people's life. I know that we can have victory, Lord. I know that you can do good. You just go on your knees in your room and cry out and say, God, just do something. Do something here. Seek friends and pray together with some friends. Make a WhatsApp group if you don't have time for anything else. And if you're a parent and if you've got children, I just want to say, you know, your children might not be, they might never be ballerinas or sports stars or great swimmers, but they can be amazing ambassadors for the kingdom of God. So I encourage you, if you're parents, you know, take time, sit around the kitchen table and start to talk to your kids about your faith, why you love God. Start to read the Bible to them. Get them to share about their faith. And take an evening. Stop a club or something. Stop something. You know, stop going out 5 or 6 nights a week to different things, taking your kids to them. Take one night and invest in your children and pray with them. Not just at bed at night when you go to bed and you're glad they're going to sleep. But you want to get the prayer over and the reading over with. But take time, sit down, read with them, pray with them, instruct them in the ways of God. So into their lives that they might grow up knowing what the kingdom of God is, that as they face the challenges of the world, which are beyond what even we can imagine they're facing, that they might be able to stand firm and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And take time. Tim Green's going to get some resources for parents if you want it, that you can have resources where you can round a kitchen table, round a meal, where you can pray for each other. And just take time and let your kids talk and talk to your kids about the faith. It might be hard. You might only get 15, 20 minutes to start with. You know, but switch off the internet, hide the computer consoles, just take the plug off the TV and say, no, you're sitting here and we're going to talk about God. And I tell you, your kids might cringe at first, but they're going to love it because there's nothing more important. So I pray that you invest in that, invest in your kids, invest in your grandkids. Take time. Tell them why you've got this faith and why you believe. Teach them the Bible. Teach them the stories of God. Teach them his miracles. Teach them his wonder. Teach them of who Jesus is. And listen to them as they grow and love him. So I encourage you all, like Jesus says to his disciples, he says to God, I haven't lost one. We may lose some because we're not Jesus. But our ambition should be we will not lose one of our families, of our loved ones, of those we're connected to. We fight for them, we intercede for them, we petition for them, and we cry out to God for them. And just as Jesus was one with the Father, and when we read that verse in John 17, it's easy to get ontological and philosophical and think about the Trinity in heaven, but Jesus really wasn't thinking about the Trinity or how God's connected and works up in the heavens and the glories. He's just saying, you know, I'm one with my Father and do what my Father tells me to do. And I glorify my Father through my life that he might be known and the world might know him. And so when we talk about unity, it's not all this ecumenical stuff. It's a unity of one purpose in mind and goal. A unity of one purpose in mind and goal. Not to be all the same, not to be robots, but together that we say, I will do what my Father has called me to do in my life, in my place, in my circumstances, and the people that my Father has given to me. And I will proclaim his glory, and I will work, and I will manifest Christ wherever I go in the power of the Holy Spirit until I have won and not lost those you have given to me. and that I might share in the glory of Christ and this Father, because I've done God's will. That I might live in unity, the unity of the goal and purpose to live for Christ. And as we come and get together as unity as a church here, and we start to live for our Father and for His glory and His purpose, and we understand what God's calling us to do together, we'll transform that community. Because as we seek Him and do our Father's will, that community will see Christ manifest, and they will not be able to anything but to change and to seek Christ and to know Him through Christ in us. Do you believe that? Amen. Some of you do, but we'll get there. Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You for Your wonderful mercy and Your glory. Lord, we just pray. We pray for those that You have given us, Lord. Give us a zeal and a passion like Jesus, Lord, that in that garden that He cried out to You for His disciples, Lord, that He thanked You that not one was lost, that He fed them, that He nurtured them, that He discipled them, that He revealed to them who He was and who You were. And Father, help us to be so filled with Your Holy Spirit, so fire in our hearts, a burden to release and manifest Your presence in our community, in our families, in our friendships, that people cannot help but see that Jesus Christ is Lord. That people can't help but accept Jesus Christ as Lord and know that God is their Father because of what You are doing in our lives. Help us to be that light in our community, that from this building, that beams of light may go through. But that's not beams of light, that we are the beams of light. We are the light of the world. We are the light of Little Over. We are the light of Derby. And we go taking that light of God's presence to every situation, every place that we go. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to stand to sing our final hymn. As normal, it's What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We'll have our prayer ministry team is going to come during the hymn, and they'll be standing there. If there's anything you want prayed for, if you want help to intercede or petition for those that you love, people that you've lost, people that you want to see come to salvation, partner with them, make a covenant with them to pray for it. Come now and pray for those. Make that commitment. Make that stand. Don't just sit there and be passive, but come forward and make that stand and say to these people here who are going to pray for you that I'm going to pray for those who are lost or who I've lost or who I want to see to come to Christ. Be active. Faith means doing something active, making a decision to do something. It's not just something that comes upon you. Faith is an action. It's knowing who Christ is and doing something about it. So if you need prayer and you need to do something about it, if you've lost people, you want to pray for people, you've got people who are hurting, come and do something about it. Take a step of faith and say, come on, partner with me to win these people back. Partner with me to bring these people health. Partner with me to bring these people victory. I will not lose one. Come in determination to see Christ come and manifest in your circumstances.